Tonight, so I look for a topic to teach, which is just going to be a one-off. And is actually also something that the Lord has been dealing with me, an area that he's been dealing with me, and I just want to share with you. It's going to be a blessing. I want to talk about humility, walking in humility to attract God's presence and favor under the general topic, consecration to God. So if you want to write, you can write consecration to God, and then the subtopic will be humility. Walking in humility. Why? To attract God's presence and favor. Walking in humility daily is the way to sustaining God's manifest presence. Let me say something about God's manifest presence. There is God's what is called abiding presence, or God's omnipresence. When you say that, you mean God is present everywhere. Omnipresence. One of the characteristics, one of the attributes of God, which are peculiar to God and to God only, which he doesn't share with anybody, any human being, is his omnipresence. What does that mean? God is present everywhere. You cannot be present everywhere. I cannot be present everywhere. When Jesus came into the world and ministered during his earthly ministry, he was not omnipresent. He could only be in a place at a time. When he was in Gennesaret, he was not in Galilee. When he was in Galilee, he was not in Jerusalem. All right? So he could only be in a place at a time. It was one of the reasons he said to the disciples, it is expedient for me to go, because if I don't go away, the Father will not send the Comforter. But if I go away, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter. And that's the Greek word paraklete or parakletos, another like me, who will come. And then he talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere at every time. But when Jesus came in his earthly ministry, not right now, in his glorified body, in that body with which he came then, he could only be at a place at a time. That was why you saw that, if you look in the scriptures, the multitudes always thronged him. They always gathered around him. Anywhere they heard he was, they would travel there. In John chapter 6, when after he had ministered, the disciples waited for him. They didn't see him. He had gone up to the mountain to pray. When it was getting dark, they got into the ships and they were going back home. He lived in Capernaum, so they were going back to Capernaum. And in the night, he was walking on the water to catch up with them. And they were afraid. Ah, who's this guy? Who's this? This is the spirit. And they were crying. He said, no, it's I. Be of good cheer. And the Bible says, when he joined them in the ship, immediately the ship got to land. The ship got to the destination. Now, that's supernatural acceleration. He entered the ship, and they didn't have to travel anymore. They just got to their destination. And by the time they got to the other side, people were waiting for him. They said, Master, we've been looking for you. And he said to them, you're not looking for me because of the miracles or because of the word of God. He said, you're looking for me because of the bread that you ate. Because he had done a miracle of feeding a whole lot of people. And you know, food is very powerful as a tool of evangelism. If, for example, tonight we announced that we're going to have free dinner, jollof rice and chicken and plantain and a bottle of Coke, I'm telling you, this place is going to be jam-packed. But it's going to be served after service. Yes, people won't mind. They will come. They will come to the service and they'll be nodding their head as I'm preaching and teaching. So, wow, wow. But men, their mind is on the food. So it didn't just start now. It has always been like that, right? So I gave you that example for you to know that it couldn't be everywhere at the same time. But you see, God the Father, this is an exclusive attribute of the Father, his omnipresence. God is here right now, he's in Ghana, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. However, apart from his omnipresence, there is something called the manifest presence of God. It is also known as the Shekinah presence of God. Now, that is not everywhere. God is in the nightclubs. There is nothing going on in the nightclubs that God does not see. But does God usually manifest himself in nightclubs? No, he doesn't. Because the kind of things they do there do not even glorify his name, do not glorify his presence, and so he's not comfortable manifesting himself there. Now, the manifest presence of God is very important to us as believers. If we are having a service like this, we must crave the manifest presence of God, because that is the presence of God that brings blessings. You could see that sometimes in a service, people come sick. But even before the preaching, it could be during prayer time. It could be during discipleship class. It could be during praise worship. Somebody say, oh, the pain I was feeling in my chest is gone. Now, because God has chosen to manifest himself to that person or to the church, to let you know that he's in the midst of his people. Deliverances can happen when God manifests. I remember a service we had. We've had some series of services like that where God will just supernaturally manifest himself. It could just be a special number taken by the choir, and then you see the deliverance all over the place. We might not even know the extent of what God has done. It could take many, many years for even the people to realize what God has done in their lives, but they cannot deny the fact that God came to that service. Is God in every service? Yes. But does he manifest himself like that in every service? No. Because there are terms and conditions. We want him every time, but there are terms and conditions. Terms and conditions apply. I want to make it personal tonight. Look beyond the church. Look at your own personal life. Is God in your life? Yes or no? If you're a child of God, is God in your heart? Yes, he is. But does he manifest himself every time? So I want to teach you tonight how to attract his presence. There is something that always, always, always attracts the presence of God. That thing is called humility. As simple as it sounds, many, many people don't know this, including preachers. In fact, preachers fall prey to pride more often than not. Especially when things are working in your ministry. Ministry is growing, you're having finances, you're having favor everywhere. There is the tendency at some point for you to think it's about you. There's the tendency, and I'm talking to you young ministers so that you don't fall into this error. There's the tendency to think that it's because you've read your Bible 12 times in 1 month. That's why, because you can recite it, you can quote it, that's why miracles are happening. There's the tendency to think that you are the all and all. If you're not there in the service, things will not happen. When we begin to have results, we need to be careful. When you begin to pray and you're having results, you need to be careful, because that's the time that Satan will begin to give you thoughts and ideas. Can't you see you are the most spiritual person in your family? Can't you even see you are the most spiritual person in the church? You see, without you, nothing will move. I've seen experiences even with young people in this church. Young people, give them a position like this, it gets into their head. Because they preach one message and somebody fell under the anointing. You are not the source of the anointing. You are not the owner of the anointing. You are not the one that anoints. Acts 10:38. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Remove God. Even Jesus will not do, he will not be able to do jack. The Bible does not say how Jesus of Nazareth anointed himself. No. Acts 10:38. I said 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He did not anoint himself. God had to anoint him. To anoint means to smear or to rub on. Like when you rub oil on your face or on your head. When you rub hair cream on your head. That's the meaning of the word anoint. But God, it was God that anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. It was God rubbing himself on Jesus. Why did he do that? Because Jesus humbled himself. in obedience, even to the death of the cross. Humility is key before God. It's a virtue that we all must possess in consecrating ourselves before the Lord. Anyone that wants to go far with God must humble himself, must consecrate himself. You can't live your life like it's yours. You can't use your body like it's yours. Let me get my body. No. God owns your body. So you cannot subject your body to fornication, your body to sin, just because you feel like it. No. You are no longer yours now. You are no longer your own. You now belong to God. You can't say just anything. You can't go just anywhere. You feel like. We don't walk by feeling. Feeling is the voice of the flesh. Reason is the voice of the soul. Conscience is the voice of the spirit. I will speak more about that in 2 weeks' time when I start teaching on how to be led by the Spirit of God. Humility is very key before God. The natural man is not humble. The natural man is puffed up. When you hear some preachers even share testimonies, they talk as though they are the doers of the work in their ministry. In our ministry, we just raised 10 people from the dead. Oh, you did, sir? You raised 10 people from the dead? Only God can raise anybody from the dead. Only God does that. Of course, he will do it through people. And usually, when someone is raised from the dead, about 3 gifts are in operation there. I've taught that before. Gifts of the Spirit. I'll teach it again this year. I'll teach fruit of the Spirit. Because people are coveting the gift, but they're ignoring the fruit. And when you do that, you run into pride. You see, because part of the fruit of the Spirit, you see long-suffering there. You see patience there. You see meekness there. You see, meekness and humility are intertwined. If you don't have the fruit, if you don't develop, you have it already as a born-again Christian, if you don't cultivate it and develop it and work in it, the gift will make you proud. For example, you may have the gifts of healings. You may have the gift of working of miracles. Some people have it. The gift of working of miracles. Miracles happen like this, like water in their hands. But if care is not taken, it will get into your head. You would at some point assume that you are the doer of these things, like you are the guy in charge. And when God sees that, he will resist you. Because God always resists the proud, but then he gives grace to the humble. Are you with me tonight? For anybody to come back from the dead, at least two or three of those power gifts have gone into operation. For example, the gift of healings. If, for example, that person died of sickness, working of miracles will bring them back to life. But the gifts of healings will need to heal that sickness or disease that killed them. Otherwise, they will come back alive and they will die again. And then the gift of special faith. Now, that's very important for you to even believe that the dead can rise. There must be in operation the gift of special faith. It's not the general faith that we all have. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of special faith. So for anybody to come back alive from the dead, either 2 or 3 of those gifts must be in operation. But if care is not taken, you will assume that you are the one. Don't worry. By the time I apply my faith, everything is going to be sorted out. You can apply your faith. If God sees pride in you, nothing is going to work. Are you with me tonight? So, humility. I want to teach on that. Just a few minutes we have. And I want you to go with this and never forget. Humility always attracts God. Since I discovered this, I've been praying it. And I've been praying this daily. Lord, don't pray, God, humble me. You are the one to humble yourself so that you are not humiliated. All right? Because the Bible didn't say God will humble you. It says you humble yourself. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Media, use your headset. We bought the headset for a purpose. You compelled me to buy it, use it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You are giving me 2 Corinthians 7:14. 2 Chronicles. People are watching us online and listening online. Please, this kind of things should not be happening. They are still in Corinthians. I said Chronicles. Everybody, did you bring your Bible? Please go to your Bible. It's in the Old Covenant, not in the New. I'm not reading what you put on the screen. It's for you. We'll be reading it. You will make me buy things, you will not use them. And you come back and be complaining. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, now God speaking here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. He didn't say, if I humble my people. It is the people that should humble themselves. And number two, pray. I will show you how to humble yourself tonight before we go. Because the apostles threw more light on that. They lived with Jesus and they saw how humble he was. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God said, if my people humble themselves, number one, then they pray. Then they turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. So you see, before anybody can truly be repentant, there must be humility. See, when people continue in their sin, in their terrible lifestyle, it's a sign that there is pride there. Nothing is wrong with me. I'm fine. I'm okay. Nobody can tell me anything. When you are not okay, even you know that you are not okay, but you are deceiving your own self, deceiving your heart. God said, if I see humility there, and they pray, and they turn from their wicked ways, I will step in. I'll forgive their sins. Not only that, I will even heal their land. I will go beyond individual. I will heal the entire country. Humility is key. Do you know that when you are a very prayerful Christian, and I mean you pray with your proper understanding, it could also be a sign of humility. How do I mean? A sign that you always rely and depend on God. You know that you cannot do anything by yourself. You cannot achieve anything on your own. You need God, so that's why you pray. Lord, I can't lift a finger without you. I can't sing a song that will make sense without you. I get a job, but I cannot execute this job without your help. So you get into prayer. Proud people or prideful people like Americans who say, hardly pray. They know the formula. Say, why do you need to pray when you know the formula? You know what to do. You press 1 and 2 and then boom, you get the result. Why do I need God? Our lead pastor shared a story years ago of some people that came in from the UK and they wanted to travel from Ibadan to Lagos. So the person leading them that wanted to drive said, please let us pray. And one of the ladies from the UK said, how do you mean pray? Don't we know the way? It was strange to her. Why do we need to pray? Because over there you punch the address in the gadget. Google will lead you to your address. But the man from Nigeria knew that it would take the help of God for us to get to Lagos from Ibadan. Too many risks on the way. Humble, if they will humble themselves. Remember, I'm saying this again, it is us that will humble ourselves. However, if we fail to humble ourselves, then we are writing a letter to humiliation. May you not be humiliated in Jesus' name. Because then circumstances will come and teach you. They will humiliate you, humble you by force. But we don't have to let things get that way. Humility invites God to establish his purpose in our lives. God is always looking out for humble people. And it's the state of your heart and the state of your soul. God is looking, is watching. Humility is the pathway to God's heart and his manifest presence. Do you want to find the pathway to God's heart? When we sing, I want to know your heart. To know his heart, the way there is humility. You need to first of all humble yourself, then God will reveal his heart to you. And it's also the pathway to his manifest presence. I want his manifest presence in my life. I want to walk into a room and people can tell that the presence of God is in that room. You know, people carry all kinds of presence too. Somebody can come into your office and you already know that demons came into that room with that person. Everything is just going to be odd and off. But we also can carry the presence of God that way. We walk anywhere and there is light around us. The man of God, Jerry Savelle, who has gone to heaven now, was sharing an experience he had in America. I think he said he went to California and he went shopping in the mall. And he was walking down the mall, you know, looking for where to go into and what to do. And a lady came running after him. And the lady caught up with him and demanded prayers. But I don't know you, said, I saw a light and I traced that light to you. You are a man of God. Yes, I am. I need prayers. I need God urgently and desperately. And he did pray. The same thing happened to one of our pastors in Atlanta, Georgia. He was in his office and somebody traced light to his office. Motu here tonight also had a similar experience. She was just there in some place in her school. Forgotten what name. I'll get her to share it sometime this year. And a lady, a lecturer in the school, ran out of her office. And I think she was probably just worshiping God. She was working on the computer. And the lady was crying, trembling. Pray for me, pray for me. She felt the presence of God. And normally, you know, British people are very conservative and bureaucratic. They don't talk to you. They just mind their business. You can be in that country for years. You don't have a single friend. Unless you have black people around you. Or maybe white people who are really born again and have the Spirit of God. The lady came running to her. She didn't go looking for anybody. She was just there doing her, minding her business. And the lady came running. We can carry the manifest presence of God. And when that happens, you pray for the sick. Boom, they get healed. Miracles will happen. Healing will happen. Because God will be manifesting himself. That's why it's called manifest presence. He will manifest himself. He will manifest his presence. But then the major key there is humility. Amen. I said amen. I'll share the scriptures with you briefly. I've shared one, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I will go into how can we humble ourselves, because it's important to understand how to do these things. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He said, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What does God require? God wants you to do justly, be fair in your decisions to people. However, you don't want people to treat you, don't treat people that way. Be just. If all of us in this country would embrace that alone, Nigeria would be a godly nation, where you treat others as you want to be treated. But many people don't do that. They want you to treat them well, but they treat you badly. He said, what again does the Lord require of you? To love mercy. Love to show mercy. People will not always be perfect. Things are not always going to go your way. Love mercy. And you see, to the merciful, God said, I will also be merciful. Sometimes we let people go, not because they deserve it, but I also want God to give me a blessing I don't deserve. Mercy. Sometimes people come to me as a pastor and they lie. Like somebody today came with her mother and lied. Lied to one of our pastors that she's a member of the Expression House. I said, oh, really? They needed money, blah, 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 story upon story. I said, if that person is truly a member of the Expression House, they know what to do. They know who to talk to if they need help, financial help, and how that gets to my table. We have a protocol for these things, how we are able to help students financially. So I requested that they come to my office. So the pastor brought them to me. Of course, the mother greeted me and tried to familiarize with me. I'd seen her before, but I was trying to click. But the girl was lying. I said, where do you school? She said, Polytechnic Ibadan. And you said, you're a member of the Expression House? She said, yes. I said, where? She said, Youth Church. She was in my cubicle here, and she was pointing to Potter's Planet. Youth Church? What course do you study? She mentioned it. Wanted to bring out ID card. I said, no. What church? So you've not been coming here, but you were coming here before. I said, yeah, that actually she was 16 then. So I said, okay, so you must be in Potter's Planet. But how old are you now? She said, 19. And where are you? Poly Badon. Did you forget along the line that we have a youth church and you've not been coming because I have not been seeing you? Even though you told pastor that you've been coming to the youth church, but I've never seen you. It's possible I've never seen you, but there's a way I would know you. And somehow you should know me. I said, so she said, well, I'm sorry that she's been attending a fellowship on campus. I said, what's the name of the fellowship? I really don't know. What level are you in the polytechnic? ND2. You've been there for 2 years and you're attending a fellowship and you don't know the name of that fellowship. There's no way I will attend the church once. I'm not stupid and I will not know the name of the church. How can I just walk in anywhere? Am I a dunce? The countries I've been to in my life, the churches I've attended, I can read out the names to you. Just attending once. You've attended for 2 years. It happens to some of our members too. When they travel, like they go for youth service or they go outside town, and I ask them, have you been attending the church? Yes, pastor, I've been attending the church. What's the name of your church? Okay. What's the name of the pastor? His name is, I can't really remember. You are lying. You are lying. If I attend, well, maybe this is Misha. If I attend the church once, I must know the name of the church and the name of the pastor. That's the man that will feed me with God's word, even if it's once. Am I making sense? I just punched all our story. And I said to the mother, look, this is not the best. If you want to belong to this church, belong properly. Then I remember there was a story. I said, yeah, there was a story. There was a story with the woman. She needed help. She came to me. I gave her money. And then blah, 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 blah. I just looked at the whole thing and said, well, just show mercy. And I brought out some words. You can go and use this one to sort yourself. I know you're hungry, but stop lying. And I said to the girl, if you want to belong properly, come. Whatever help we can assist you with, we will do that. She said, so later she said, actually, I go to Winner's Chapel. I said, where? In Bashorun. I said, from the Polytechnic Ibadan, you go to Bashorun every Sunday. How much does the transportation cost? You are here, you don't have money to feed. And it's not like Winners put a bus there that takes you to church. You see, even if she had told me that she goes by bus, I would have said, oh, okay, I can understand. That's free. But she said she saves money. I mean, do you think you're talking to an idiot? You don't have money to feed, but you have money to go to Bashorun. On the average, with the current transportation and the issue with Nigeria, on the average, if you don't spend at all, to and fro from Songo to Bashorun, you'll be spending roughly 800 to 1,000 naira. If you don't spend more. But you know what I did? I just showed mercy because I remember the scripture, to love mercy. So sometimes people come, they lie and lie to you. Just give them something. Because if I didn't give them anything, I didn't know what might happen to them after leaving my office. And I also remember that God also gives me things that I don't deserve. But as another young man like that, he always comes with stories. I give him something. Go. Just go. I don't believe what you are saying, but just go. Because I also want God to give me things I don't deserve. So it's a way of sowing seed. He said, love mercy. And then he said, now that doesn't mean you should be careless with money. I'm not teaching you to be careless with money. There are people that you shouldn't give anything at all. And tell them to go and work with their hands so that they also can have to give to them who lack. The number three part of that scripture says, and to walk humbly with your God. God wants us to walk humbly. Psalm 34 verse 18. That's the third scripture I want to share. Then I will go into how. Psalm 34 verse 18. It said, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's a repentant, penitent spirit. That's a spirit whose conscience has not been seared with the hot iron. People that are quick to repent. When they know they've missed it, they've gone wrong. And as a result of going wrong, they're brokenhearted. The Bible says God is near to such people. That's humility. When you're wrong and you admit it, maybe you heard in church, or maybe just on your own, you were convicted in your spirit that what you did or what you said was wrong. And you go before the Lord and repent. God is near such people. Don't come up with a proud argument. Don't come up with an explanation. You know, some people, even when you catch them, I don't know what's wrong with the sound. I hope it's not so online. When you catch them like this, red-handed, lying, they will still explain. You know, it used to be very funny to me. It's not funny to me anymore. When I watch Nigerian home videos, these Nollywood films, for example, a wife walks into the bedroom and catches her husband with another woman. You know what they say? I can explain. Babe, it's not what you think. I can explain. I don't know who came up with that phrase. But really, I don't think that is the proper context to use it. I caught you red-handed. What are you trying to explain? You see, and that's the natural human nature. Adam, where are you? I can explain. The woman you gave me. No. And that Adamic nature is in each of us. But there is the God nature on the inside of every believer. The more we allow the Adamic nature to perish, the outward man to perish, the better the inward man emerges. And when the inward man emerges, we are blessed. We can carry more of God. When we are yielding to our spirit and not to our flesh. And you see, the flesh is very strong and very stubborn. Very stubborn. The more you break it by humbling it, one of the ways we humble it, I'm going ahead of myself, is fasting, through fasting. The flesh doesn't like it. How many of you can fight when you have been fasting for 3 days? If somebody says you are stupid, you just look at the person. You walk away. Because you know naturally at that time, if you engage, there is the likelihood that you are defeated. So you walk away. The flesh is humble. The flesh wants food. You say no. The flesh wants sex. You say no. I choose purity. The flesh wants sleep. You say, no, I want to pray for 1 hour. My friend, there is no time till now that I pray for 1 hour that my flesh does not cry. You think it's easy. You know, they, because you are a pastor now, it's easy for you. You just pray 1 hour and the Holy Ghost, you pray 2 hours. Even our lead pastor said it. Every Friday we come here, we go to the ICC to pray for 2 hours. He said, some people think it's easy. It is not. Unless your flesh is dead, and this flesh is not dead yet. We are still alive, we are breathing, and we don't want it to die yet. It will cringe. It will cry. I want to sleep. Maybe you make up your mind, 9 to 10, every night, 9 to 10, I want to pray in the Holy Ghost. My friend, sleep will come. You will have to fight it. There was a man leading all night prayer here years ago. He was leading prayer and he was sleeping on the microphone. Now, that could happen to anybody. You could feel sleepy while you're praying. But you will fight. You will have to fight your flesh and wrestle it and keep it in its place. Do whatever you can. Interestingly, he now asked for water. They now gave him cold water. They finished him. He just sat on the altar like this. In the presence of the whole church. Some people went outside and they started laughing. Of course, that's not the best thing to do. I just said that to let you know that the flesh can be very, very stubborn. Very stubborn. So I'm teaching this humility so that it can become a lifestyle for us. It's a lifestyle that acknowledges God's sovereignty and our dependence on Him. It involves prioritizing God's will, serving others selflessly, and reflecting the character of Christ. As we humble ourselves, we attract God's presence and we open the door to His blessings and purposes in our lives. You want to know God's purpose for your life? Humble yourself. Sometimes humble yourself through fasting, just to seek His face. You are not asking for bread and butter. You just say, Lord, I just want to consecrate myself to You. And Lord, I want to know Your will for my life. There is no human being that can hand you the will of God for your life. Because He didn't write the will, and He was not there when God was writing it. No bishop, no priest, no apostle, no prophet. God will show His will to you when you humble yourself before Him. Are you with me, church? And it will amaze you the kind of blessings that will be coming your way. The kind of blessings when you humble yourself. When Esther was going to go before the king, Esther chapter 4 into chapter 5, her uncle Mordecai came and said, look, you better go in and speak to the king because they are going to wipe out all the Jews. Esther said, uncle, you are my father. You raised me, right? But I cannot just go to the king when I'm not invited. And he has not invited me for a while now. It's against the protocol of the palace. They could just wipe me out. If the king does not stretch forth the golden scepter to me. Mordecai would not take no for an answer. Mordecai sent word back to her. Look, if you fail to do this now, let me tell you, God will cause enlargement to arise and deliverance for the Jews in another place. But know this, you and your father's household will perish. You'll be destroyed. When Esther heard that, it's good to have a mentor. Someone that can tell you the truth that nobody can tell you. Who can be talking like that to number one queen in the whole of Shushan, the palace? Esther sent word back to the uncle. Uncle, you know what? Call a fast. All of you, all the Jews everywhere, let them fast for me for 3 days. I also will fast. It's not that you'll be fasting for me, I'll be eating. My mechanic told me a story. I'm not a perfect man, I must tell you that. But I thank God that I'm learning to be like Christ. He said, he had some conversations that I had with people on the phone. We were in the car together that he was driving me. I was trying to help someone. So he said, Pastor, for a while now, I've been with you, you help people, you take calls, people you don't even know, you just do this, link them up. It's part of the calling anyway that we have. It's normal to me, it's not strange. It's normal. He said, the reason I'm not close to pastors is because many of them are liars. Yes, he said it. He said, one day, I was in the car with a pastor. And somebody called him. The person had a problem. And he just finished eating. He now told the person, I'm in a fast right now. In fact, send money to me to use to break my fast. He said the moment he said, I'm in a fast right now, he looked at the man looked at him, their eyes locked. He said, Pastor, from that day, I've not been working for that man. He calls me to fix his car, I don't go there. He said, this is not a good man. Some people will say they are fasting, but they are eating. Send me money to break. Esther said, tell all the Jews to fast for me. I also and my maids will fast. He said 3 days. No eating, no drinking, day and night. That's different from the kind of fast we normally do. That you break at 6 p.m. Even that one, many people are still struggling with it. We just finished 15 days now. I can tell you, many, many people did not fast. But they will come to church and pray during the prayer time. They shake their head. They shout. Eba. When I joined this church, it was a challenge for me. I never was exposed to extended fasting. I'd done biribiri before, 2 days. And I almost went to heaven from the Catholic church, CAC church that I grew up in. I'm telling you, by day two, day one, I thought I would die. Day two, I could not talk. I was just on a mat, sleeping inside church. Our pastor, then, a very strong man, he just looked at me and said, this boy. He said they should make tea, small tea. So all of us, we just took tea. Then we revived. Since that day, it was as if I had malaria. When I joined this church, they declared 15 days fast. Ha! I would do like 3 days or more. I will eat, and I'll come and pray. Our prayers were the loudest. Myself and my friend, Emeka Namani, we knew each other. We knew that we were eating. But we'll come and pray. People will see us. These brothers are praying. 3 days out of 15. Even the 3 days, it will show on my face. The 3 days I was faithful. Because I would lose weight very easily. And to gain it back was the problem. I was bothered about my stature because I wanted to be big. But I drank milk and ugu and raw egg. I did not grow fat. I did not even increase. I lifted weight. Muscle did not come out. Everything, I did everything. So the little stature that was a little bit rotund that I had, that I brought to church, fasting took everything away. My neck was long like this. So after the fast like this, during the fast I ate. After the fast I continued to eat. By July, they declared another fast. Say, hey, this church will kill me. I wanted to run away, but I liked the word of God. But I didn't like the fasting. Must we fast like that? It took me time. As I began to get more established in the faith, to embrace the fast. You can't catch me 1 day out of 15 days fast that I'm not fasting. It's not possible in this world. It's not possible. I told you one Wednesday I wanted to eat. I was tired. Let me eat, Gary. Wednesday morning. My children said, Daddy, it's Wednesday. They were not fasting, but they were monitoring me. But now I thank God they are also fasting now. This is fast. They fasted. Tirani will fast till 4 p.m. sometimes. We even beg him to break. The sister too would try. Sometimes 12 noon. Sometimes you manage till maybe about 2. That one is not very easy. Esther fasted. The Jews fasted, her maids fasted. Esther chapter 5 verse 1. Can you put that on the screen? The Bible says, when she went in, now it came to pass on the third day that, now, our own fast was absolute fast, what we call biri biri in Yoruba. And I will encourage you, try it. You can start with 1 day. You will not eat throughout the day. But you drink water. Then day two, you can have light breakfast, but pray. On the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, everything royal, over against the gate of the house. Next verse. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained what? Favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. Favor through fasting. What is fasting? You are humbling yourself, your flesh and your soul. The soul is very active. See, as a Christian, as believers, we struggle with the flesh many times. Maybe you watch porn, or you are in church, but you are still smoking small, small, or drinking little, and you don't want it anymore. I will encourage a fast. A proper fast. Something will break. James, we are going to the epistles now. James was the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had the privilege of living with him in the same house. Who could know Jesus more than someone living with him in the house? Let's see what James said in James chapter 4. Hebrews, James, chapter 4, and in verse 6, James said, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Satan is the resister. The name Satan or Satan means the resister. Listen, every time a child of God wants to make progress in life, you would have discovered from your own personal experience, it's usually difficult. There's usually a fight. You know why? It is Satan resisting you. That is his job. That's his business. That's the meaning of his name, the resister. But there is a way to overcome him. To overcome him is to submit yourself to God. Humble yourself before God. Then resist the resister. The Bible says he will flee from you. However, flip that over. If God is the one resisting you, then who can help you? If Satan is resisting you, we can gather together and pray. We can even fast with you. See, this is our brother must break through. This brother must move forward. This sister must make a headway in life. But if God is the one pushing you back, resisting you, who do we appeal to help? The brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the brother of the Master, look at what he said. He must have studied Jesus. He lived with him. He saw humility. So he understood grace. He knew the heart of the Father through his association with Jesus. Verse 7. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the resister, and he will flee from you. James understood that the resister would flee if you would do the right thing. And to do the right thing is to submit yourself, to humble yourself. Next verse, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. When you think that God is far away, who has moved? You. Draw nigh to God. Open your Bible and read. It's one of the ways we draw near to God. Majority of Christians don't read their Bible. There are pastors who don't read. They only read to preach. That's even if they do. Today, that we have a lot of tools on the internet. Copy and paste. You can listen to somebody's message. Stephen Fortick. Ah, I like that. Boom. Copy and then you come to your church. Download this. Zah! People say, woo! Word. What a word. And eventually people will still find out. Because one or two people will still find out, they will listen to that message. Ah, this was the message that pastor preached now. Look at the time they uploaded that video. Look at the date your pastor preached it. Simple. I'm not saying we can't learn from other people. But don't make that where you feed from. Feed from the word of God. When you can feed from the original, why are you feeding on the synthetic? Why are you feeding on artificial? Can you eat artificial food? When you see jollof rice on the screen, can you feed on that? Jollof on the screen. When you can go and make jollof, read jollof in your kitchen. Ah, man, I like the picture of this jollof, oh Lord, and the chicken. The person will be so malnourished, he will die of hunger. Go to the world and cook for yourself. Next verse. He said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. This is how to humble yourself now. Cleanse your hands and purify your heart. Ye double-minded. How do we purify our heart? Faith in God purifies your heart. In the place of prayer, you can tell God, Lord, purify my motives. Purify my intentions. Purify my cravings. You can be craving something that is terrible. You can hug a lady with an impure motive. You want to feel her. You can hug with a pure motive. You are not planning to feel anything. You just greet as a friend, you walk away. But you can calculate the hug. You can even hold hands with impure motive. Let's be open to God in the place of prayer. Lord, purify my intentions, my heart. And as you get into the word of God and faith comes, faith also purifies your heart. Because it won't lead you to sin. Now look at the next verse, which doesn't sound like a good confession. He said, be afflicted. Ah, and mourn. May I never mourn. In the name of Jesus. Mourn. I'm not praying. I'm saying, look at what James wrote. This contradicts what we say every time. But James knew what he was saying. He said, Alaye, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Weep! Cry! Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. This is not a good prayer. Ah, Brother James, what kind of prayer is this? What kind of confession? We want, he has turned my morning into dancing. He said, don't dance. He said, mourn. This is how to humble yourself. Look at the areas where God, what is today? Areas that are not making God happy in your life. Sit down and cry. And say, God, have mercy upon me. Today, they say, you don't need to repent. Our people. They say, once you are saved, you are forever saved. This letter was written to believers. I don't know how they read their Bible. Unmarried people living together, sleeping together, committing fornication. But they go to their camp and speak in tongues for 16 hours. I wonder what God is telling them as they are speaking the tongues. I believe they are reporting themselves to God. We are fornicators. We are fornicators. And we have failed to repent. Gukarakata, ashia gadaba. And then it gets into their head. Look at those hyper-grace people. They know the Bible more than you. They can interpret the epistles. They give you the Greek, the Aramaic. You can know all of that and yet miss God. They know the Bible. But I bet it they don't know the God of the Bible. Knowledge puffs up. Quoting the scripture is not the same as doing it. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. God, weep, he said. This is how to humble yourself. When you come before God and say, God, I am nothing without you. I, Fred Akinola Elegbe, am a piece of rubbish without you. I need your help. I cannot help myself. My sufficiency is of God. I am not self-sufficient in myself. I know nothing without you. I can't even breathe without you. Lord, show me my errors. When you pray sincerely, God will show you certain things. And when he shows you, him and weep. Weep. In one of the places in the Old Covenant, he said, let
the priest come and weep between the altar and the porch. Let them come here and weep. That was the kind of consecration they enjoyed in the 40s when the likes of that Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, gave their hearts to the Lord and they started fellowshipping with other believers. He said after the service, people would come to the altar, around the altar, kneel down and weep before the Lord. And guess what? They had more manifestation of the presence of God in their meetings than we do have right now. You know what replaced that? Technology. In some churches, they are singing and then they are using smoke machine to display the glory. Raw glory came in the Bible. Now there's human glory. We have lights. We have technology. You don't have to hold the microphone anymore. You can use lapel. Invisible oneself that they won't know where it is in your body. Just hear your sound. We have English. We have concordance. But you know what they had then? Consecration. Every day they repented before God. Every day. Every day. The prayer of consecration is different from the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, you can say it once and be thanking God. The prayer of consecration, you say it every day. Jesus prayed it in Matthew 25. Lord, I wish that this cup will pass over me, but if it be thy will, that will be done. 1 hour! That simple prayer. He came back again after 1 hour. He prayed it again. He came back the third time and prayed it again. 3 hours praying the same thing. Consecrating himself to the Lord. Not my will, Lord, but yours. This is what I would have done. But because of God, that kind of thing self can make you cry. Especially when somebody cheats you and you know that normally, like you guys say, on the norms, I will tear you into pieces. But you go into the place of prayer and weep. You are humbling yourself. And let me tell you, God fights for such people. When I was going to catch this scammer, I went before the Lord and wept 5 nights on the floor, Bible guest house, where I normally go to pray when I want to be away from everybody. I didn't sleep on my bed. I was on the floor, weeping, asking for mercy. Lord, your mercy. Lord, your mercy. I didn't ask for anybody to fall down and die, but somebody fell down and died. People don't understand that mercy is like a two-edged sword. The mercy of God. Oh, dangerous. Oh. When you pray for mercy, I will teach on that someday. As God is having mercy in one camp, judgment is happening in the other camp. The last verse that I want to read here. James said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and guess what? He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. Humility attracts lifting. Lifting comes when we humble ourselves. When we puff up ourselves, we go down. So can you see now? It's like this. When we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. When we lift up ourselves, it will allow us to be humiliated. Finally, let's go to Peter. First Peter. Peter was number one apostle. I know my time is up. Just give me a few minutes. What time is it now? 7:02. So just give me roughly 5-7 minutes. We'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Peter was number one apostle. Like James was one of the apostles, Peter was number one apostle. Peter spent quality time with the Lord. And you know that sometimes when the Lord was going out to do a special ministration, like in Mark chapter 5, he was going to the house of Jairus. He took Peter, James, and John with him. Most places, when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was one of the three. Most places he went to, he took Peter. Peter said in Acts chapter 1, either verse 21 or 22. Please, can you put that on the screen for me? He said the Lord Jesus, when he was among us, going in and coming out. Can you put that on the screen? Acts 1:21. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. What was happening there was that they wanted to choose a replacement for Judas. may you not be replaced. That amen is not strong enough. People can be replaced. Vashti, Queen Vashti was replaced with Esther. Judas lost his apostleship and was replaced. I pray for you as I pray for myself. May we not be replaced in the agenda of God. So Peter, in that scripture, said the Lord Jesus went in and out among them. That means they were in the kitchen together. They were in the bedroom together. They were in the living room together. They gisted together. They prayed together. They fasted together. They sang hymns together. That one thrills me every time I read that scripture in Matthew, that the Lord sang a hymn with the disciples, and then from there they went to the Mount of Olives. When I get to heaven, I will ask the Lord, what hymn did you sing? I would really love to hear Jesus sing. What song will he sing? It thrills me. What did Peter have to say? I think we need to listen to someone like Peter. Someone that stayed with the Lord Jesus. What does he have to say about humility? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. It is not natural, but do it. Some young people are so rude. Anywhere you see that kind of rudeness, you know the devil is somewhere around there. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? Because, that's the word for there, God Almighty resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Peter was not there when James was writing his own epistle. But can you imagine out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of the Lord be established. James talk his own. Peter is talking his own now. The exact same words as though Peter took it from the mouth of James. Let's think, oh. Lord, in any way I'm proud, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Help me to walk in humility. People can make you proud sometimes by the kind of introduction they give you. I'd like you to meet Ibex. This guy's out of this world. He's a shrewd businessman, an astute, and that's our job as MCs. We can psych you up, your head will be swelling like this. He has been to several nations, the mentor to mentors. Is a father to fathers. Is a coach to coaches. He is this, is that. He's got a network of churches around the world. There are about 250 churches reporting to him. Let's be honest. How many reports will you have time to look into from 250 churches? And people do such so that the audience can accept the person and respect the person. If your head is correct, when you get to the microphone, say, please, all the accolades belong to Jesus. He is the doer of the work. I am only privileged to be available for his use. I am like you. Don't look at me like I'm super, extra. I'm not super, extra anything. Let's give all the honor to Jesus. There are churches today where the senior pastor, the lead pastor, the general overseer, the founder, the apostle, the bishop is more prominent than Jesus. They can't say two or three things without saying, our Father in the Lord, our Father in the Lord, the servant of God, our daddy, our papa. No Jesus. They have never heard from Jesus. It was when papa said, it was when daddy said, it was when, I'm not saying don't respect or honor men of God, but don't exalt them above Christ. He is the head of the church. Verse 6, Peter continued. He talked about humility in verse 5. In verse 6, he continued. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. I will talk about due time another time. See, exaltation comes from God. Promotion comes from God. But he will do it in due time. Due time is not always need time. That you need a brand new car now does not mean God's going to give you. He will give you in due time. So you had better farabale. You had better walk humbly before the Lord and continue to serve until your due time comes. He will give you what you need in due time, not in need time. When your character is formed, when he knows he can trust you with that blessing, due time. Galatians 6:6-9 also tells us the same thing, to not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we fail not. In due season, due. Because a woman wants a baby. She's not going to give birth to a baby at 3 months. At best, she'll give birth to a lizard. There's a due time. When are you due? 9 months. Then they will give you your EDD, expected date of delivery. Due time. Process. Now, how do we humble ourselves? According to Peter, he said, verse 7, this is where I stop. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I stop this way tonight. I will still teach this some other time by the grace of God. Because he still said so many things that can bless us. When you pray and you cast all your care upon the Lord, trust him that he will take care of you. Don't go back after service and take all the problems again from the Lord. Say, Lord, it's my problem. Let me continue with it. How do we do that? When you go back after service and you continue to worry, after you have released all your worries and anxieties to him in the place of prayer, it doesn't please the Lord. The Lord is looking at you like, okay, so you are in charge of your life. Okay, go ahead and handle it. You are telling the Lord, I can handle this. I can fix it myself. That's why you are worrying about it. Every time you worry about a situation, you are actually telling the Lord that you are the one in charge of your life. That's why you worry. Pastor, but we should show care. Show care, but don't take any thoughts of worry. Don't take it. It will come to you, but don't take it. I've put it before the Lord. I believe God is in charge. Amen? Let's move on. You say that to yourself. Guys, let's move on. We've given it to the Lord in prayer. Let's move on. Will thoughts come for us to take care? Yeah, but we're not going to take care. We're not going to take it. The care we have given to the Lord. And he has taken it. What we have left is thanksgiving and expectation. We have hope. We trust God. Bible hope is the product of faith. It doesn't precede faith. I'll teach on that too this year by the grace of God. So we're very hopeful. We're very expectant that something good is about to happen. And it's going to happen today. And then, does it happen today? You wake up tomorrow, say, this day is going to happen. Yes, I believe. And I'm ready. I'm expectant. A phone call is going to come in. Yes, I'm expectant. That's how to live. Oh, Ebenezer, how about that thing? You need to worry about it though, because they have not sent you an email yet. No. I'm not going to worry. I gave the worries to the Lord, and I'm not taking it back from the Lord. Amen? When you take it back from the Lord, it's pride. You are prideful. God is looking at you like, what's wrong with this boy? You think you can handle it? Okay, go and handle it then. I shared this during the fast with the adults in adult church. You are in church, you are worried about your children. Can you protect your children? As I'm teaching here, my children are at the back. Can I protect them where they are? I cannot. Who protects your children when you go to bed in the night? When all of you sleep like logs of wood, sleeping and snoring. Everybody, daddy, mommy, children, everybody sleeping. Who protects you? Now you are in your office, you are calling your children's school. Hello, how is Tirenoluwa? Is he fine? Please don't allow him to play football today. I don't want him to break his leg. You are worried. Very soon, you have anxiety disorder. There are some parents like that, mother hen. Their children cannot travel. They will be on the phone from the beginning of the journey to the end of the journey. He's going to Iseni youth camp, NYSC, youth in Dagbato. He's old enough to go for camp. No, mommy will be on the phone, or daddy will be on the phone from Ibadan to say, hello, where are you now? Okay, you've reached your job. Just stay on the phone, no, don't worry about credit. In fact, WhatsApp has made everything easy. There's nothing to worry about credit. You talk. Where are you now? You're in money here. Okay, very good. You will soon get to your, my dear. Well, daddy, don't worry, I'm fine. Ah, no, I'm not worried. I just want to keep in touch. Did any trailer pass in front of you? Is there a trailer in front of you now? Okay, what about Micra? Those people, they are very stupid people. They are mad people, self. So just be going gently. I'm not the one driving. Hey, I know. Tell your driver. Oh, will you give the phone? No, don't give the phone to the driver. Just be praying. Make sure you're praying. Pray. Just worried. Can you take care of that journey? Let's humble ourselves tonight, and let's do it every day, and see the Lord step into our situations. Whether you have a health challenge, a financial situation, an academic situation, a business situation, a family situation, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will step in, He will exalt us in due time. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed tonight? Simple teaching, but I believe it will bless you. Father, we thank you. We honor you. Thank you for teaching us your word. Lord, Satan will not be able to steal this word from our heart, because we'll go ahead and operationalize it, and your name alone will be glorified in our lives. We'll attract your increase and your favor and your manifest presence, even as we continue to walk humbly before you. In Jesus' precious name, somebody shout amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship.